You're listening to TCRG to CEO Radio with your host, Courtney J., TCRG.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to TCRG to CEO Radio. I'm your host, Courtney J., TCRG, and today we're talking all about teams. So before we get into today's episode, I want to thank each and every one of you again for, number one, listening to the show, but number two, I have lots of people reaching out to me each week and giving me great feedback about the show, the topics that you're interested in listening to, the guests that we've featured so far on the show, and all of that really means a lot to me. The messages, the questions, the connections is really the main thing that I love. So thank you if you've sent a message just to say that you listened or that you liked an episode or a particular guest. Please continue to feel free doing that. I love when I get a new message in my inbox or in my email talking about the show. Speaking of which, once this episode airs, I'm going to open up a question box on my Instagram story. You can follow me at CourtneyJ_TCRG on Instagram, and I will open a question box with just a general Q&A or ask me anything type of format so that the last episode that will go live in 2023 will be any questions that you guys would like answered. And it doesn't have to be limited to business. It could be teaching related. It could be anything tangentially Irish dance related. And hopefully it'll spark maybe some new topics that I could create future episodes about more in depth. But I like to do those every now and again just to see what kind of different topics we get that can be answered kind of short form. So let's get into today's main event, which is all about teams and Kaylee dancing. And as the episode title suggests, I made everyone do teams this year, and this is how it went. For some context or historical information, I've always grown up dancing teams. I've never not been part of teams as a dancer. And growing up, we did teams on Friday nights, which is honestly, looking back, probably the like worst time to try and get people together for teams. But at the same time, that's how we spent our Friday nights. And our parents probably loved it. It kept us all occupied, out of trouble. And for us, teams was just as much of a social experience, if not more of a social experience, than it was about dancing. Teams weren't something that we took super seriously in the sense that, you know, it wasn't a school that was really known for Kaylee dancing or anything. We learned plenty of eight hands, which obviously really helped going into my TCRG exam. And we grew up dancing both forehand reel and humors of Bandon. So I've done competitively both figures of each of those. And it, again, wasn't something that we did as a school to objectively go out and win Kaylee competitions. We did it as just another part of being an Irish dancer. And I grew up knowing that that was something that was just part of it. And we did it in its own team class on Friday night. We'd often go, you know, get ice cream or do something after class. All of our parents hung out at a local restaurant or went shopping while we were at class. So it was, I think, as much of a social thing for our parents as it was for us as dancers. And growing up, I was on teams that were objectively terrible, okay? And then this was the type of team where, you know, the audience was probably sitting there watching going like, oh, like that poor kid, or like, oh, like that, what a shame. Because we would have dancers that would straight up like stop and forget what they were doing or go the wrong way or give the wrong hand for the chain. And like that was par for the course for us. Like we were objectively kind of terrible. But we never, I do not have a personal experience or memory where I felt like I was embarrassed or ashamed or really mad at someone on my team for messing up or something like that. So I don't know, you know, with an adult's perspective looking back, what the dynamic was that made us not feel that way. I think that's something that, however it happened, is really good, that we never, you know, took it out on our teammate or felt disappointed. Or again, now as a teacher, like I kind of cringe at some of the like team moments that we had over the years. But at the same time, I'm really glad that I can look back as an adult and not feel embarrassed or ashamed and know that I didn't feel like that as a kid either. of how our team might have performed on the day. I only look back and have positive or funny memories of being on a team. And again, I don't know how that happens, but I think it's really good. Even though we certainly weren't like nailing it in team competitions all the time. We did, by the end of our career as a forehand, we made it to second place at our regional. And growing up in New England, I've been surrounded by amazing world-class teams my entire life. And I knew that. I knew that the teams here were incredible. So the fact that we did end up placing second in our forehand by the end, like our senior year, is really miraculous. And to be able to say that we did that together is something that I still have, again, really positive memories on. So when I started my studio, it was important to me that dancers knew that, you know, teams was something you could do. Teams was something you could be a part of. It was part of being an Irish dancer. I really appreciate that the grade exam syllabus includes Kaylee dances as part of it. And, you know, we can all see why. It's a huge piece of dancing and a part of dancing that CLRG and all of the governing bodies around the world need to promote as like the cultural and traditional element, and keeping, making sure that that tradition continues through each generation of teachers. But I'm glad that it's part of the grade exam syllabus because it makes sure that dancers that might not otherwise be part of a team, whether it's because it's a small school that might not have the right configuration of dancers to put a team together for an Aractas or something like that, and make sure that they get the experience of learning Kaylee dances and at least having a team in their class. So I wanted to make sure that dancers had that well-rounded experience. And from the get-go, we started with a forehand team. And it was, you know, a young school, and we kind of put together like the best team that we could at the time. And I really, really, really appreciate how difficult it is to make a great team dancer and a great team that works well together and then be a great Kaylee program in general. I think, and this is just my opinion, I think it's harder to be an excellent team school than it is to have amazing soloists. And feel free to disagree with me. You can send me a message. We'll start a conversation. But I really, really appreciate how difficult it is because you're no longer working on one person to be the very best that they can be. You're taking each individual dancer and the different strengths and weaknesses that they have and being able to kind of blend that out so that you have 4 or 6 or 8 or more dancers that come together and seamlessly are able to dance and create beautiful patterns and dance in such unison that it's just beautiful. Like, I could sit and watch teams all day long, and I really appreciate how much work it takes to make it look that effortless. And I hope one day that I can create that within our own school. Like, I hope that, you know, over many, many years or decades even, that that's something that I can achieve. But for now, I just take my hat off to anyone who has an excellent Kaylee program in their school. And if you're out there listening and would love to talk about the how and why and what you do to do create that, if you have an excellent Kaylee program and you're willing to talk about it on the show, I think that would be a really interesting episode that I would certainly love to be part of. And I'm sure there's listeners out there that would love to hear it as well. So I knew I wanted to start a Kaylee program as early as possible within our school's history so that dancers knew it was part of dancing and that it became an expectation that that is something that you would become involved in. So over the first 5 years, we started to build up some good momentum of dancers growing up and coming into teams, trying out different things. We had an 8-hand that we tried in that 5th year. And although it didn't go great, it was a start. And I appreciate how long it takes to build a great team program. And we started to pick up some momentum. Teams were starting to place. And again, like, we compete in New England. The teams here are incredible. And I'm super proud of those placements that our teams were able to make just as we were going into the pandemic. So 2020 hits, and obviously Aractus is canceled that year. And then in 2021, New England hosted our Aractus but did not have teams. I believe we were the only region at that time that chose not to have teams on the syllabus that year. And we had been working on teams all throughout COVID. I remember having the kids, you know, standing in front of their screen with a can of beans in their hand, you know, working on their arms and trying to do as much as we could to get everyone staying proficient in those skills and improving themselves, even though we couldn't dance together. So coming out of the pandemic, it was a little bit of a challenge to start getting that momentum back. And what I started to notice within our own studio was that there started to become this feeling that, you know, you would get invited to team class when you were in, you know, novice, even some advanced beginners, you know, got invited to be part of teams so that they could kind of grow up in that program. And I started to notice this attitude of, well, once I get into, you know, the champ class, like I am now too good for teams. And no one said it in those words, but I think the attitude and the sentiment was that that's something for them to do and not for me. And personally, I mean, I feel like it's a disservice to you as a champ dancer if you have the opportunity to be part of a team and that you're not being part of it, because you have so much to offer other people in learning from you. As a championship dancer, you shouldn't really have to think too hard about, you know, am I pointing my feet on my skips or like are my knees straight, because it should be so second nature to you. So I wanted to make sure that that feeling wasn't something that was going to stick and hold long term. And I had a conversation with a teacher within our region who does have excellent teams, and I have a lot of respect for her as a person and as a teacher. And we were having a conversation at our Aractus one year, and I had one of my teams up that was a brand new team. This was post-COVID, so this must have been the 2022 Aractus. And we're sitting there, and you know, the girls come on, and she goes, oh, you know, who's this team? And I said, oh, they're mine. And they dance, and of course, you know, we're not making waves. They're brand new. You know, they made it through. They did everything that I could have asked of them. And she goes, keep bringing them. And I said, oh, you know, thank you. That means a lot to me. Like, I know we're still fairly new. You know, I would love to have a Kaylee program like yours one day. And she said, keep bringing them. I remember bringing my first team to an Aractus, and like they didn't start, and you know, they were young. I think she said they were like under 8, and you know, you get the picture. And you know, she said the girls came off and they're like, oh, you know, we did it. And you know, she kind of is thinking in her head, you know, well, you did, but you know, I wish it had gone better. And but she said that, you know, they were so proud of themselves, and obviously as a teacher, you're proud to see them up there doing their thing. And she told me that, you know, after many years, like they did, they won their forehand competition after they danced together for many years. And it was just one of those like, okay, yes, as great of a teacher and as great of a team program as you have, you know, you get it, because everybody starts somewhere. And I feel that I know what it takes to make a great team. I feel like I have that knowledge. I feel ready to pass on that knowledge, but I also know that it takes time and practice, not just for the dancers, but for the teacher as well. You get better at teaching things the more that you do it. And you also need the experience of going out there and being part of that competition and watching other teams and, you know, being not just sitting on the sidelines, but actually being part of it. So it was important to me that as we came out of the pandemic, that not only did we eradicate that attitude or that feeling that kind of champs are too good for teams, but it was also important to me that we held on to those dancers coming through and feeling like, no, this isn't the end. Like, this is the beginning. Like, you can be part of the start of something. And we might not see the fruits of our labor for years, but you can be part of that. You can be part of that changing tide. You can be part of the leadership of that. And like, we need you. We want you to be part of this. And as sunshine and rainbows as I'm sure that sounds, you know, the reality is that gets met with a little bit of pushback. And not everyone enjoys teams. And it's a thing that I get it, but I also kind of don't get it. I understand that some people prefer to be on stage on their own. They shine as an individual. For some people, I get that that's maybe why Irish dance appeals to them in general, is that it's, for the great majority, it's an individual endeavor. You know, you live or die by your own work, your own mental fortitude, and that for the most part, you don't really need to depend on other people. However, the person, you know, the adult in me that lives in the real world and lives an adult life knows that you don't go through this great adventure on your own. And you also don't always get to do everything with the group of people that you choose. And sometimes you have to rely on other people. And it's a group effort. We don't do this on our own. So to kind of counterbalance that sunshine and rainbows, like, the dose of reality is you need this skill. You need this skill set to go through life just as much as you need, you know, maybe the mental toughness that you've developed as an individual dancer or whatever it is. And it doesn't matter if it's solos or teams in my studio. What matters to me so much more than your, you know, ability to dance a great hornpipe is, like, will you be a good human being when you leave here one day? And will the work that we've done in this room make you a better person? Will it help you as you carry on your life? And will you look back on not just, you know, the fun memories that you've had with your friends, but, like, will you look back and go, like, oh, I didn't understand it then, but, like, I get it. Like, thanks, Courtney and Christian, you taught me something. That's my hope, is that everyone's able to look back and, you know, have the memories, have the laughs, have kind of those warm fuzzies, but will you also be a better person because of it? And I do think that teams are a really important part of that growth process too. So in this everyone does teams endeavor, I too had to shift my personal goals and beliefs and also how we do things. So again, I feel like I have the knowledge of how to do teams well. And for that, you need to have a separate class and you do need to dedicate time to team dancing. And sure, there's a lot of crossover between your individual and your team dancing, but to really have that focus on teams, it does need its own time and its own space. I had to let go of that because I knew that to get the buy-in from everyone, the barrier to entry had to be as low as possible. And because if there was anything for someone to trip over, so to speak, there was going to be that resistance. And my goal was little to no resistance. So we did teams as part of our regular novice, prize winner, and championship classes. I had a team of advanced beginners that also did teams as part of their advanced beginner class. So that way no one had the barrier of, it's an extra thing for me to go to, or for the parents, it's an extra class for me to pay for. We kept it really simple. Now, as part of that initiative, we spent time on basics. And basics are things that I tried to get everyone to understand. This carries into your individual dancing. If you're not straightening your knees on your sevens, and all we're doing right now is sevens, do you think your knees are straight on your slides or your switches in your reel? Probably not. You know, if we're trying to make sure that our feet are pointed down when we jump and leave the floor to start a seven, do you think your feet are pointed down and that you're cutting off the ground or whatever it is in your solo dances? Again, probably not. So to kind of tag along with our goals transferring into our solo dances, you know, I really tried to push my champ class to look at their three rounds differently. Because there's been this feeling of, you know, oh, my set will drop me, or like, oh, I really need my set to bring me up. And I said, you know, can we stop putting so much pressure on our sets to, you know, be our, like, nail in the coffin or our, you know, golden parachute? Can we go into our first two rounds and say, I need to dance these well enough that I'm so well into what my goal is that I don't need to hang all my hopes on my set. Like, my set will do what it does. And I don't feel so much pressure on that round. So improving our soft shoe scores in general was kind of one of the goals associated with adding teams. And once Christian and I went through the scores and the numbers afterwards, we can say that across the board, it was better and it did work. So that was something that, again, I kind of had to shift my own ideas around it. But again, I think the payoff was there. The other potential barrier that I saw was costuming and the level of like detail we put into how we present it on stage. I knew that if, you know, champs had to buy a school dress or rent a school dress or had to kind of invest more than their time into spending the day at the Arakta's and the Fesh the week before, that the buy-in was going to be low and there was going to be more resistance. So going in, we decided to keep it really simple, just black leotards and skirts that were highly adjustable so that we could, you know, reuse them for years to come, and making sure that I did not have to invest in a lot of new inventory was another priority that I was trying to balance. So we did that, black tights for everyone, so that way everyone was uniform. And it's not what I would prefer going in if I was really trying to knock it out of the park in teams and, you know, feel like we were kind of contending for something. But since the goal was to get out there and get everyone doing it, this helped us get closer to that goal. And it was something that parents did not have to invest in. I made sure that the budget was there for new skirts for anyone that needed them and that they could just wear them for what they needed and give them back. And that also seemed to help us out. And to be honest, I love watching teams no matter what form they're in, you know, costume wise. And there is something that's really nice, I think, about the simplicity. You know, we did natural hair, just hair down. Again, not what I'd probably choose if I could have my, like, dream team. But again, there's something kind of nice about it, too. So I came around to that idea. Again, keeping it simple was kind of the name of the game, just to get everyone going. And then also for simplicity, we kept it to, you know, one class was doing forehand reel, the other class was doing fairy reel, so that we could use our time as efficiently as and effectively as possible. And that's just something I am really big about in general, is using our time efficiently. And even though that might have meant that we didn't have like our perfectly ideal teams by like height or whatever it was, it allowed us to get in, get out, get it done, and then move on without spending hours upon hours of teams. And I know that was something that was important to balance for the dancers that really do want to focus on their solos, and they're kind of doing teams more for me than for them. And I ended up learning a lesson along the way here. And would my life as a teacher be easier if we didn't do teams? Absolutely 100% yes. Okay, even in an ideal world. Because again, with individual dancers, if someone, you know, gets sick or gets injured on the day, you're sad for them because they can't put their work on the stage. But when that happens in a team, you are then in the midst of like high stress problem solving, and no one wants that for their Arakta's. So would my life be easier? 100% yes. But along with that whole idea of teams, it's not about me and what I want. It's not about what would be best or easiest for me. It's about giving the best experience to the dancers. So we did have a situation pop up where one of our dancers had emergency surgery, and it was probably 10 days, somewhere 10 to 12 days before the Arakta's. So it was pretty close. And in that, we ended up having them not appear at their team workshop that we had been running for them. And it also meant that we had a new dancer stand into their spot for the Fesh that weekend. And then their participation in the Arakta's was really a day-by-day thing up until, like, I don't know, 2 days before, probably. And by that point, they kind of said, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to at least do, you know, the first one where we didn't really have a great alternate to stand in. And then we'd kind of go from there. And it was a highly stressful, you know, problem-solving moment for me, even though this is an adult team where they really did pull a lot of the weight behind, you know, the who was going to go in, if they felt confident with, you know, the change of plans. And again, with them being adults too, they have a little bit more patience, perspective, understanding, and ability to adapt to these situations than maybe a team full of children would be able to do. So I was grateful for that. But my lesson in all of this was, you know, you can lay the best plans. You can do all of the preparation. You can do absolutely everything correctly and still have something pop up that's out of your control. And one of my dancers who probably fought being part of a team the hardest was saying how difficult it was for her to be okay with being on a team where she is not in control of what other people do. And when this situation happened, all I could think of was that, what she had told me. And, you know, if it's not a surprise, it's probably not a surprise to people that listen, but like, as someone who runs a business and works for themselves, like, I also like to be in control. But at the end of the day, there's only so much any of us can control. And this situation was just one of those reminders and life lessons to me of not everything's going to go perfectly. Even doing all the right things, even doing all the perfect planning, life is still going to throw you curveballs, and you have to be willing to adapt, and you have to be willing to adapt quickly. And it might mean that things don't go the way that you've planned, and you have to be okay with that. So I kind of appreciated that lesson along the way, even though there were some stressful days and hours in there. Now, how did it go? Everyone might be wondering. All in all, I'm really pleased with how it went. Knowing that we weren't going to prepare like a championship-winning team, I think we did everything that we could have hoped for, especially in a highly competitive region. And we ended up with 10 teams that attended and danced. I'm super proud of our dancer who did have emergency surgery. She competed on all three teams that she was on, supposed to be on. And she is doing really well post-op. And, you know, it wasn't like a sacrifice of, you know, now she danced her teams, but now she's, you know, badly hurt or something. She's okay. Five of those teams ended up coming home with awards, which I think is pretty neat. And we had three teams in the top three. Now, those are our adult teams, and the adult teams really do lead the way in terms of like attitude and team spirit and, you know, just really embracing what it means to be on a team. So the fact that they were able to bring home three top three placements and a win, my first ever team win, it's pretty incredible to me. And they were really, really proud of that moment because their team placement improved from last year in that particular competition. And they are competing against some adults that have danced together for, a few of them have danced together for 25 years. And again, like going back to the beginning of the show of, you know, how long it takes to build a team program and how long, you know, you might spend putting in the work to get the result. 25 years, I mean, that is like kryptonite. That is incredible superpower to have on a team. You know, you must know each other so, so well, and every little thing lines up so perfectly because you've had so many years of experience. So knowing that, they were really proud of just like, wow, you know, we've been dancing together for, some of them have been dancing together for about 2 years. Some of them have danced together for about 6 months. And just being able to pull that off was so, like, we were all just so proud. And then we had one of our six hands who they were, you know, convinced they were going to come in last because it was their first time doing it. you know, there's a lot of potential there, but it's not maybe where it needs to be yet. They were convinced they were going to come in last. They ended up coming in fifth out of the seven teams, I think, that danced. And for them, like, that was a win. And for me, too. I think the biggest win, though, wasn't that fifth place. It was watching them wait for their awards and being a mixed team. There were two boys and four girls, and they're all in that early teenage stage where, you know, anything can happen. They may decide that Irish dancing isn't cool to do anymore, and they might pursue something else. They might want to spend more time at school and doing school activities with their friends and might not dance anymore. I think a lot of them have plans to go the distance, but you just never know. And the boys are pretty quiet. They don't usually interact much with each other or the girls, to be honest. And seeing them all wait around for awards and watching them play around and mess around together and, you know, seeing the boys hang out and actually talk to each other, and then the boys started talking to the girls, and, like, then they're all actually having a good time. That's probably the part they're going to remember at the end of the day. After all of this is done and, like, the medals are in the trophy cabinet, and, like, they're probably going to remember the, like, funny, weird little 13-year-old things that they did together in those hours waiting for awards than they will any of the actual team stuff that we did. And to me, that's the important part. Like, that's the magic right there. And ever since then, they are all chatty and talking and interacting at class. And especially for the boys, I think that's a huge win. And I hope that there's potential for them in the future to do more teams together, because I think they're a great group of kids and a great group of dancers. And there is a lot of potential there. But again, we had to start somewhere. So my intention from the beginning was to have them part of that beginning, and I think we got there. So that's how teams went. And I hope that just kind of taking everyone through the process and kind of telling the story, either one, you're listening just kind of for fun and that you enjoyed listening to it. I know some people aren't into the monologue episodes as they are a guest, but don't worry, I'm trying to alternate between solo episodes and guest episodes, especially during this busy time of year. Or if you're listening and you have also felt called to have teams be part of your school and you haven't been, you've been trying to figure out how to do that, I hope that listening to that has given you some ideas or maybe gives you the courage or the confidence to implement it. And again, if you're someone who's listening to this show and you have a legacy or at least a history of having amazing teams in your school, don't hesitate to reach out to me on Instagram or by email, because I would love to have you on the show and talk about what building that has been like for you so that other people can learn from you and, you know, your program and your expertise. So that's all for this week's episode of TCRG to CEO Radio. I will leave all of my Instagram and social handles in the show notes. As a reminder, we have a private Facebook group, and you can join it to interact with other listeners and ask questions. Every once in a while, we'll get a teaching or business-related question in the group. It's small and intimate, so I think it's a probably safe place to ask things that maybe you don't want in a larger group, and that will be in the show notes as well. Everyone have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on TCRG to CEO Radio.